This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If that line forms on the right, babe, not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's.
Yeah.
Back.
Chris McMartin.
Sports Radio.
On the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. We're back. Monday already, I know. As we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show for the next 3 hours, we got Ryan on the other side. 888-808-1019 on this Monday morning. We got a lot to get to. We got a little bit of breaking news, sort of. We'll get to the Vladimir Guerrero contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. $500 million. What does that mean for the New York Mets? Hell, listen, let's be honest. Yankees won't have a first baseman next year. We'll see. I mean, Goldschmidt's been pretty damn good. We'll get to the Knicks and the return of Brunson. Wayne Gretzky being passed by Ovechkin. Actually, a lot. Duke choking. A lot happened this weekend. But we'll start with our baseball teams because it is the first week of the first weekend of baseball has come to a conclusion. Both teams are 6-3 after 9 games. And, like, there's a lot of different things to get to and a lot of different players. And obviously yesterday with the Yankees losing in extra innings to Pittsburgh, it harkens back to other, you know, trying times of getting the runner in from third, some really ugly bats in the late innings there, and the new obsession with Devin Williams. And it boggles my mind, some of the reaction I'm seeing from Yankee Twitter. But that's a dark place, and that's not all of you. So let's just start with the positives of a 6-3 start from both teams and a weekend for both teams' series victories. But for the Mets in particular, obviously they sweep the Blue Jays in the first home series of the year. And when I look at these two teams now at 6-3, and I think they're both really good. I think they're both really talented. And I think both are, you know, as good as we thought they would be. But what jumps out at me is the things that are carrying them early. Because, you know, it's funny, we make these assumptions, right? And I do the podcast, the Rico Bronya with Evan at the end at every season at the start of the year, and we have like our Met and Yankee bets, and we talk about this and that, and he was like, let's do which lineup's going to score more runs? And I'm like, I can't make that bet with you. This Met lineup is dynamic. This Met lineup, I mean, Vientos is a stud. Obviously, Juan Soto has joined. Back Pete Alonso, I expect him to have a much better year this year. Lindor, the Yankee lineup, I'm not sure about yet. And you look at what's carrying these two teams. Right now, the Mets pitching is the best in baseball. And this lineup, despite winning these three games and coming through with the big hit as we saw Winker in particular Saturday night, this Met pitching is unbelievable. And what they're getting out of the bullpen from, you know, from Diaz to Brazoban and Stanek and Kranek and Reed Garrett and Buto, like right now, and every starter, they are yet to give up more than two earned runs in any one start. Like, that's what's amazing about this, because you head into the season and you fully expect this Met offense to carry them, right? We understand how Stearns builds a rotation, and last year they were better than we thought, and there's some expectation that they're going to get the most out of guys like Clay Holmes and converting him into a starter. They're going to get the most out of guys like Griffin Canning, who've been subpar major league starters at previous destinations. That they have this pitching lab, and they're going to figure it out, and they're going to be pretty good. But ultimately, to get what they're getting, now they're not getting a lot of length out of their starters, and that's going to be a problem eventually. And this bullpen is not going to continue to do what they've been doing for as many innings as they've been doing it for over the course of the regular season. But right now, like, what's amazing about it and what's good about it, right, and what I think is a positive kind of for both teams and specifically for the Mets here is they have major issues with the offense right now. Right? I've been praising Beatty and pumping up Beatty and trying to admit I think he should get the bulk run of this time at second base while McNeil's injured, and he's had a great, you know, spring training, and we know he can hit the minor league level, and it's just finally time for him to feel comfortable in a lineup that's added Juan Soto. He's going to have a brief run of it. Let's see what he could do if he can transition from a hot spring into the start of the year, and he's been awful. He's been awful to the point where I'm going to have to get off it. I've been pushing it. I'm not quite there yet. I still want to see if he can turn this thing around and actually be a productive major league hitter, because I believe in the talent. I believe in the swing, but we just don't see it. And we are, you know, a handful of games and a week or two away from McNeil coming back and Beatty never getting another opportunity. And we saw him strike out with a runner at third in this game to try and pad on to a 2-1 lead. And he's just been unable to do it. And Vientos has gotten a couple of hits here, but a shell of himself, right? I was talking about it, you know, Friday. We have, obviously, the not running the ball out, the defensive miscues in Miami, throwing the ball over the catcher's head, playing an easy ground ball into a base hit and a run scored on a little ground ball down the line. Like, he's been bad defensively. He's been non-existent offensively. He's really struggling. You're worried about the confidence level on a huge sophomore year from him. Even Juan Soto. Yes, even Juan Soto, who gets on base, has really generally not done much. Right? He hasn't come through in some of the big spots. Double play to start the game on Sunday in the series finale. Like, Pete Alonso has been hot from the start. You're starting to see Lindor kind of come out of this early season slump. And again, it's only been, what, 9 games? But he's showing a pulse a little bit, showing a little bit of life. Lindor not doing all that much. And the rest of this lineup not coming through in big situations, not being able to get the big hit other than Winker. They've been waiting around all game. It seems lifeless up until they get either the big home run from Alonso or the big hit from Winker. And they've gotten a couple, no doubt. But they've been doing this on pitching. And whenever you can look at a team, and this is what excites me about the Mets and what excites you about the team, you know, at different times last year, and you're seeing it again this year, again, 9 games in, is it's really positive. And I know the Blue Jays aren't very good. They're a bunch of frauds. And it takes $500 million in 14 years to keep their superstars and have anybody take their money. And I've been calling the Blue Jays frauds for forever. And Springer, I felt bad that he got hurt on that play, the Winker big hit on Saturday night, because I wanted to laugh at him really bad for how terrible he was in the outfield and how he misplayed that ball into a triple. But then, of course, he gets hurt, and I can't laugh at him. But he was awful. I think the Blue Jays are all horrible. I think Miami's terrible. And for the Yankee, for the Met fan who thinks I'm a Yankee shill, Pittsburgh's terrible too. We know. So it's 9 games, and they haven't played. You know, they played the Blue Jays and Miami and Houston. But if you can win games and win series, and now win 4 games in a row, and not score runs and not have the best part of your team be the best part of your team, that is a huge positive for me. The idea that this Met offense, which I still think is going to be the driving force, which obviously I think Juan Soto is going to have a tremendous year. Obviously, I think Pete Alonso is going to have a really good year. Lindor is an MVP caliber player. I do think Vientos will turn it around. I think we're seeing just an early start, maybe some high expectations, a little bit of pressure dealing with him, whatever's going on with him. I think we've seen enough talent and enough big spots last year to assume that Vientos is still going to be a very productive player, if not ready to take that next step to superstardom as we had hoped. Still a positive offensive player, we fully expect. Still waiting for McNeil. You know, Marte will come around. He's already given you some good at-bats. Winker's a positive at the DH. Nimmo. Like, I still expect this offense that hasn't gotten going to be the driving force of the team. And this rotation that I and so many have had so many questions about to get off to this start, it is a major positive when your team can win games and the best part of your team isn't there yet. And you know it will be. So for me, the early start of the year, yeah, there's some issues. I'm concerned about Beatty. There's a little bit of concern about Vientos. Not much for me. Juan Soto, I have zero concern about, but he hasn't gotten off to a good start. And yet this rotation and this bullpen has been so dynamic. They have the lowest team ERA in all of baseball 9 games into the year. The lowest ERA in all of baseball. And you watch Peterson, and I thought Mendy, who's been, I think, really great this year. Mendoza, to leave in Winker for that at-bat against Little, the left-handed pitcher in Toronto, you know, as opposed to going to Taylor there, where you figure, okay, maybe they pinch, they substitute a right-handed pitcher, and the question is, do you want Winker against the lefty or make the move to the bullpen to face Taylor? But still, a lot of guys, and I'll raise my hand, I'm a big Boone defender. I know I'm a Yankee shill, and I still think Boone gets too much blame. That's a move where you could see other managers go with the book and make the other manager make the move and go to the bullpen or whatever and not trust the lefty against lefty matchup. And he's been great managing the bullpen all these innings. It feels really nicely spread out. Everyone's come in and done their job. I thought he had a weird thing with Peterson today or yesterday where he was obviously, I guess it was illness. He was kind of feeling sick or nauseous or something, but I thought he left him in way too long. He couldn't throw a strike. He was all over the place. He hits Jimenez, and then he finally takes him out. But I think the manager's doing great. You look at what you're getting from Griffin Canning, who is throwing more sliders and being more effective. McGill, who's attacking the strike zone, throwing 98 miles an hour. We know he had the stuff. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to attack the strike zone and have confidence in himself. Right, even Senga, who gave up 4 runs, only 2 of them earned. A starter has yet to give up more than 2 earned runs. And overall, the entire pitching staff is the best in baseball right now. So a week in, a 9-game start to the season for the New York Mets, I think the main positive of it is I don't like what I've seen from the offense. In fact, it's been really bad compared to what you think it should be. And yet the team is flourishing. And the pitching staff is carrying them early on in the season. You can't expect it to continue, but at the same time, I don't expect the offense to be this bad. So whenever your best unit is struggling and you still find ways to win and sweep and win 4 consecutive games as the Mets are on a 4-game winning streak, I find that to be a huge positive. And then you get to the Yankees who, again, what was the fear? You lose Juan Soto. And you're worried about this offense and specifically the power, right? That's what you, like the 2 things you were worried about is the youth and the power. And you knew you were losing Juan Soto and no Stanton with the elbow injury. And this team is absolutely dominating. Like heading into this game on Sunday, and obviously they have to rally for 3 in the 9th. But heading into the game, they're averaging 9 runs a game. They have the best OPS in baseball, the best on-base percentage in baseball, the most home runs in baseball, the best batting average in baseball. They have been the best offensive team in baseball by a mile, and nobody saw that coming. Nobody. And Volpe has had an incredible start to the year. Goldschmidt's been good. Ben Rice, the leadoff hitter, has been incredible. You've seen Dominguez come through. Like, all in all, this entire lineup from top to bottom, and especially the bottom of the lineup, where they're scoring runs and you don't necessarily need the home run. Like, the bottom of this lineup with Trent Grisham, who's obviously a story right now, who's killing it. And yes, I'll be the first to admit, when I see Trent Grisham, I know JJ's been talking about it. I saw him, JJ, John Jastrzemski, talking about it on SNY. I saw John Boy do a thing on it. I have to admit, I like to defend Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. It's a little frustrating, right? Knowing what Trent Grisham is, knowing who he was for the Padres in the postseason, Met fans can attest to it. He absolutely killed them in the wild card series in 22. Knowing that Trent Grisham, who is absolutely killing it right now, hitting two home runs in the Saturday game, coming through left and right, big base hit on this game on Sunday to tie the game in the ninth inning as the Yankees rallied from 4-1 down to score three in the ninth and send it to extra innings. As we watch Trent Grisham be part of this bottom of the order that's been, honestly, Judge hit one home run in the series. Bellinger was dealing with a back and only played in one game. The middle of the order really didn't dominate the series. The series and all the runs scored in the first two games and even the three-run rally is the bottom of the order with Trent Grisham hitting all these home runs. And I can't help but think, why was a lame, terrible player like Verdugo, who still can't make the major leagues, even though he signs a deal with Atlanta and Profar gets suspended 80 games, he's still in the minor leagues. Why was he playing when they had Trent Grisham on the bench? I have to admit, that's the first thing I'm thinking as I'm watching all this. As I'm watching Trent Grisham dominate, hit multiple home runs, come through with big hit after big hit, have good at-bat after good at-bat against left-handed pitching, right-handed pitching, it doesn't matter. You know how good defensively he is. He's one of those guys who's as smooth as it comes. You're almost like you're not even sure he's moving out in center field. He's so fluid, and it's so nonchalant. Everything about him is nonchalant. Running around the bases after a second home run, he barely shows any emotion. And I have to admit, it's frustrating to think that this guy was on the bench almost the entire year throughout the postseason while Verdugo couldn't get a damn hit. And now they're obviously giving him run. The Bellinger injury helped to it. But they're going to play him often, and you're going to see Dominguez, who's a young player, get some time. Obviously, we've already seen him get defensive replacement. Like, the overall fluidity of this Yankee lineup, I got to tell you, I don't know if I've enjoyed watching a Yankees team this much since 2017. It's 9 games in. Yesterday was a frustrating loss, and we saw some of the same crap we see from former Yankee teams with the inability to come through in the clutch and get the runner in from third, and we saw some terrible at-bats. Bellinger swung at a miserable pitch that would have been ball four and forced Pittsburgh to face, with a left-handed pitcher on the mound, to face Judge with first and second, nobody out. Instead, he hits the ground ball, moves the runner over, but they can walk Judge. And then we see a terrible at-bat from Jazz. So there were multiple terrible at-bats. Peraza had a terrible at-bat with a runner at third. They were unable to get that run in, and it's a frustrating loss after rallying back from three down in the ninth against Pittsburgh. But ultimately, a good series, and what you're seeing from this lineup and what you're seeing from guys like Volpe, such a huge season for him this year, this third year, to make a jump offensively. And not only offensively, he has made at least 4 or 5 excellent defensive plays at shortstop. If this is the version of Anthony Volpe that the New York Yankees are going to see all year long, this lineup, top to bottom, with what we're seeing from Dominguez, what we're seeing from even guys like Rice and Goldschmidt at the top of the order, and then Grisham and Cabrera and Volpe at the bottom of the order with their power, their combination of power and speed right now, I mean, it is as fun to watch. We're letting kids develop. Ben Rice looks like a guy who's changed a lot mechanically as well as physically. And he is getting on base, hitting for power. I feel comfortable with him at the top of the order. And this is a guy who couldn't play in the postseason as well last year. This is a guy that had his moments but had some really ugly at-bats and a stretch where I wasn't sure what kind of hitter he was going to be. And now it's a guy 9 games into the season where I'm like, yeah, hit him leadoff. So overall, when you look at both of these teams, 9 games in, first week of the season, Some of the things that you concerned about, the Yankees rotation, clearly an issue. From Carlos Rodon on down, has not been great. The bullpen's been an issue. We'll get to the closer and some of the stuff I'm hearing about Devin Williams, who gave up a fly ball in extra innings and people are pissed about it. So there are some issues, but for both teams, my biggest question mark for the New York Mets had been the rotation, and they are getting an absolute dynamic pitching performance all over. And then the Yankees, we were concerned about the power. We were concerned about the lineup. You're concerned about what this team's going to look like without Juan Soto. And so far, this Yankee offense is not only scoring runs at the best clip in Major League Baseball, it is not only coming through with the power in answering that question, but it's coming through in every which way. They're rallying back. Even in the Saturday game, they fall behind. They come right back and put up a six spot. Like, this offense has been dynamic. This offense has answered every question. And all of our fears, nine games in, feels like they're trending in a direction where we won't have any questions.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Question marks moving forward, other than they could still use another right-handed bat at third. But both teams right now, biggest question marks, have gotten excellent grades. 9 games in, 6-3 for both teams.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.